Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love.
This week, we are looking back at what we've studied, as well as trying to process what we're learning through the study. So it's a pause in the book. We're not doing a new chapter, but we're just thinking through more fully what metaphors we've come across of the Holy Spirit, what images are in our mind when we think of the Holy Spirit, and how that's changed. In our first class, we talked about what do you think of when you think of the Holy Spirit, and we came up with a few ideas, and we talked a little bit about it. But I'm just I'm curious, how is that changing as we're studying this, and just looking a little more deeply into the many ways the Holy Spirit shows up in Scripture and the ways that it shows up actually in our hymns. So I sent a few questions along to think about, and probably got them yesterday. So, you know, but we're going to go through those. And one of the questions was, how does the Holy Spirit show up in the hymns we sing? I had a really interesting class in seminary by a guest lecturer who was writing a book about he was Methodist. And so the Methodists don't have a book of order or a book of confessions, they may have a book of order. They don't have a book of confessions. So they don't have the structure we have in terms of written theology that they can go back to. But what they have are all the hymns that Charles Wesley wrote. And so this professor was going back through the Methodist hymns, and he was doing a study of the theology of the divine names in Methodist hymns, like how is God referenced in these hymns? And I just thought it was so interesting, and I never thought about the hymns as being a source for that. So
Jim Speed did his doctorate thesis on hymns.
Wow.
Who did?
Jim Speed.
Oh.
Yeah.
We've seen a few different images: dove, fire, wind, water, cloud. Are there any other images y'all think of when you think of the Holy Spirit?
I like the wind because I just kind of felt like that's how you feel, that he's all around you. The Holy Spirit just, you know, goes around and he surrounds you and protects you. And I kind of thought of the wind. I like that one.
It's also the cloud, because remember the cloud when they were in Exodus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Descended on them.
Yeah,
it wasn't even guiding them. It just came down.
And a little bit of research I did also said water and oil.
Mm-hmm.
Water and oil.
Because we baptize with water.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cleansing, and people are anointed with oil.
Oil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to this next slide. You can see this. So wind, we need to add cloud. We have fire at Pentecost, breath, even in Genesis, God breathes into the first people.
But we also had fire in the burning bush.
Yes.
Yes.
The dove. So the dove, when Jesus is baptized, it says that the Spirit descends like a dove.
Like a dove. Mm-hmm.
You also get the Spirit of God hovering over the waters in creation. I was talking to Pat Hankey, her eyes just lit up because she's studied some of the stuff in the past, but that hovering word means fluttering. It's a word used to describe how birds flutter and like when they stay in place. So you get kind of bird images. Pat's question was, is the dove God's favorite bird? And I didn't have an answer for that, but we'll keep working on it. Or like, why was the Holy Spirit the dove? Why wasn't it a vulture? I think I know the answer to that one.
I could understand that.
Well, aren't doves kind of like a symbol for purity? Peace. Maybe
they are. What I don't know is if they were back then, or if they became that because they were associated with God or the Holy
Maybe.
Spirit.
We also talk about wind with the Pentecost.
The sound was like a wind.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, when Jesus died and the the veil, the curtain between the holy and holy, the holy of holies and the rest of the temple was ripped. Wasn't that by the Holy Spirit, by the wind?
That's a good question.
You know, I always think that you know, because that happened and the Holy Spirit had to be the part of that did the rending.
Yes, that's the end of Matthew. So the death of Jesus, he cries out from the cross. They gave him vinegar to drink. Then he cries out and gave up his spirit. That's pneuma. That's the Greek word for breath. Sometimes it says he gave up the ghost. I think King James, or he released his spirit. Some gospels, this line, he gave up the spirit, it shows up in more than one gospel. In one case, at least, it says he gave up the spirit. And in others, it says he gave up his spirit. So there's some disagreement on is it the Holy Spirit that he's giving up? Is he just exhaling? I think one version says he exhaled. But see, yeah, this is where you're getting it from. He gives up his spirit. He it's almost like he breathes out maybe the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, the curtain rips in part. So there is a sense that if we say the Spirit is this wild, untamable thing, it just blows where it will, and it just blows things apart in some ways. There's a question. I think that's a valid way to think about it. Like, when this happens, it causes the curtain to tear, the rock shake, the earth shakes, the rock split, the tombs open. This is a crazy, crazy verse. The bodies of people who died were this is the Halloween verse of Matthew. Come up and start walking around. So it's something about that death, or maybe it's the beginning of the release of the Holy Spirit that just everything goes crazy. And remember, when this happens, this is theophany language. So this is language that tells us, oh, God has showed up here, which is interesting because Jesus just died and now God shows up. But that's an interesting way you could think of it that way, that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit does this. And that may be also pointing back to that the Spirit is God. So you have wind, cloud, fire, breath, dove, oil. So yes, so the oil, there's a Isaiah 61:1, there's a reference where it compares. It's the Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. So there's this idea, this connection between the Spirit being able to anoint us. So sometimes we see this connection with oil, as we anoint with oil, the Spirit anoints as well. And I guess you could think, you know, another way to think about the oil, so you have water, which I have fountain, but I didn't get just straight water. I like that. Oil is also sticky, so it sticks on you and it just stays there. If you've ever had the anointing or remembering your baptism and anointed by oil, stuff never comes off. You have to scrub it off. So.
What about the 23rd Psalm, where it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overfloweth"? Would that be oil and wine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the wine. I thought this was interesting, but not because the word spirit happens to also mean alcohol in our language, but because wine. There's this funny scene in Acts 2 when the Spirit comes in, everyone starts speaking in different languages, and then Peter stands up and says, "These people aren't drunk." I mean, it's a really fun, like, I always laugh when we read it in church because I'm waiting for the pastor to let's unpack that a little bit. But apparently, that's how disorderly it seemed to the folks that were standing around. All these people, just this loud, raucous, like, conversation just bubbles up. But there's a comparison between being filled with the Spirit and being filled with wine. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting that there's this connection between what the Spirit does or how it expresses itself sometimes and wine. And then fountain. So John chapter 4, Jesus meets the woman at the well. So he, which is a scandal. He goes to the well. Everyone knows you meet your wife at the well. He goes to the well And he sits down, and this lady comes to take water out, and she's Samaritan, and Jews and Samaritans, they had some disagreements on theology and other things. And so she asked him to pull up water. This is all very taboo. And so anyway, they had this conversation about what is living water. I bring you living water. I can give you living water. Everyone who drinks the water won't be thirsty again. It will be a spring, you know, what I give them will be a spring welling up to eternal life. And there's been some connections between the water and the spring and the fountain and the Holy Spirit. And you see it also in Isaiah. That's kind of where I will pour my water on the thirsty land and streams. I will pour out my spirit. So you can see how it's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go to the hymns. So we have all these images. There might be more. We may even see more in the hymns.
Well, you know, I Googled hymns with the Holy Spirit in them.
Yes.
And it says there's 2,430 hymns that talk about the Holy Spirit.
That's a lot.
I know.
Wow. I had to do the same thing because I'd asked y'all to think of it and then realized I didn't know very many hymns that had the Holy Spirit in them.
Well, the one that caught my eye, the one I guess I knew the best was Blessed Assurance, and I never really thought about it, but it says, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. So I guess that they're using that.
Sweet Holy Spirit.
So born of his spirit, do y'all remember, where does that come from? Yeah.
It says, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Washed with his blood.
So Blessed Assurance, born of the spirit, is John 3. It's probably some others. But this is the conversation with Nicodemus, where Nicodemus is a Jewish ruling council. He may be a Pharisee. Yeah, he's a Pharisee. He asks Jesus at night, what do we do? He says, you have to be born again. And then he says, okay, clarify that. And he says, well, you have to be born of water and the spirit. So there's this connection again between water and spirit and this idea that the baptism, so you have the spirit and the water there. Any others you found, Harriet, while you were looking?
Well, there's, Gordon, you know, it's nice in the old blue hymnal, they have a whole section of hymns on the Holy Spirit.
Cool.
Starting with Come Down, O Love Divine, and going over to Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. And one of my favorites in there, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Right.
There's all these different ones. Some of them are, one of them just called Spirit.
I think you got that one.
Sweet Heavenly Spirit, Sweet Heavenly Dove.
You know, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. That's an old standby.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody recognize one that's called Freedom? It just popped up when I was looking at it, and I can't
Freedom,
really
find no.
Freedom. I've
never heard of that.
Uh-uh.
No,
that's a list. I'll show y'all what I. This was supposed to. I know why it didn't work. Here we go.
Yeah, there's a sweet, sweet spirit.
To kind of go through.
Oh yeah,
sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove.
I got a little crazy colors
filled with love,
washed in His blood.
Yeah. So there's a sweet, sweet spirit, has dove, it has love. These, and then there's this connection here that stay right here with us, filling us with your love, this idea that you fill us with your spirit, and by being filled with the spirit, we're also filled with love. So there's a connection between the spirit and love there. And then the response is that we give God praise, and we're revived or restored.
I'm not really familiar with this hymn, but it's called Holy Spirit, Truth Divine.
Ooh,
by Samuel Longfellow, but mm-hmm. looking at the text of it, it's pretty, I like it a lot. It's got, because of the different things that it asks the Spirit to do to you. It says, Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine. Voice of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. Holy Spirit, love divine, glow within this heart of mine. Kindle every high desire, purify me with your fire. Holy Spirit, power divine, fill and nerve this will of mine. Boldly may I always live, bravely serve, and gladly give. Holy Spirit, law divine, reign within this soul of mine. Be my law, and I shall be firmly bound, forever free. Holy Spirit, peace divine, still this restless heart of mine. Speak to calm this tossing sea. Grant me your tranquility. Holy Spirit, joy divine, gladden now this heart of mine. In the desert ways I sing, spring, O living water, spring.
Very nice.
And that has more verses than the old blue hymnal does.
Really?
A okay. Different interpretation, too, on the words. But basically the same.
That's where I was going with all this. Just, yeah, there are so many hymns, even ones we don't recognize as including the Spirit, some that we do, and they tell us, they give us almost another, maybe more modern language to say, what is it that the Holy Spirit does and what is it? Sometimes it's hard for us to put that into words, but these are places we can look. The last question to be chewing on for the week is how can you be, or are there, you know, is there a way you can think of being more mindful of the presence of the Spirit as we go through this fall? I think part of the nice thing about studying this is it's always in the back of your mind, but as we continue to go, just being mindful of, not only are there ways in the book explains it, but there are all these places in our hymns, there are places within our worship that also point to the Holy Spirit, and it's there even if we don't necessarily engage like a Pentecostal church might engage with that. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out God's love to others. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out God's love to others. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out God's love to others. Amen.
Amen.
Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.